And we're going to talk NFL draft right now. We've got Chad Forbes on the line with us right now. Chad, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. And, you know, anytime you talk about the draft and the Browns are associated, everybody's got an opinion as to who they should take. And a lot of what they do will dictate what we hear about over the first round of the draft, which should be very, very interesting on Thursday night, as it always is. And we hear about who they should pick first, who they should pick fourth overall. Here's my question to you. With those two picks in the top five, in your mind, Chad, how would they screw this up? Who would they have to take to screw it up in your mind?
Well, I hate to give you the easy answer, but they are the Browns. So we've seen it done. We've seen them screw up a few picks in the past, but I think this year with John Dorsey and the group that they've hired in that front office, they're going to get it right. They're going to go with the quarterback they like at first overall, and then either Saquon Barkley or Chubb at fourth, and I think that would be a great haul for night one and should get Browns fans excited.
Well, no question about that. I mean, I think you get two picks like that in the top four, I think there's a lot to get excited about. People have consistently talked about the idea of perhaps trading down if there's a quarterback out there that another team likes. People have also said that because Saquon Barkley is such a hot commodity, if the Browns aren't necessarily sold on him, they could indeed trade down. I don't know, though. I look at it this way. They've traded down so many times in the past. You've got two picks in the top five. I think it would be in their best interest to use those picks unless they're 100% blown out of the water by an offer that's made by somebody that, again, wants to jump in on that scenario if they're really sold on Barkley or really sold on one of the quarterbacks that are still left over. Do you see that scenario possibly playing out? Could they trade down again?
You know, everybody that you talk to around the league, and there's multiple teams that are looking to trade up, say the Browns aren't open for business, that John Dorsey is done with the shenanigans, and he's going to select two premium players with the top four picks. And people haven't even ruled out him potentially moving up if he falls in love. But I think if you just look at it, the last 2 years they've gotten 24 guys, 12 offense, 12 defense, there's 19 still on the roster. They don't need picks at this point. They need premium players. They need difference makers.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and I think the question is, who do they see as the primary difference maker or the primary signal caller at number one overall? Everybody's got an opinion. There are a lot of people in the Josh Allen camp. There are many, many people that are in the corner of Sam Darnold. Of course, you have some people that are still rooting for Baker Mayfield as well. And as polarizing a figure as Baker Mayfield is, there are a lot of people in these parts that feel like there are far too many similarities to Johnny Manziel. But I've heard some other people say that while in stature they may be similar, he is very, very different. Any of those three really stand out to you, or is there somebody else that maybe belongs in that conversation as well?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, and they've got to decide which one fits best for them going forward. And I think the moves they've made this offseason, from hiring Todd Haley to bringing in Tyrod Taylor to be the bridge quarterback, somehow that just tells me they're going to go Josh Allen. And when you talk to people around the league, they keep saying John Dorsey's going to take Josh Allen. And these are the really smart guys. This isn't the media and the people on Twitter. These are the guys that have known John Dorsey for years, say he's going to fall in love with Josh Allen, they're going to have a plan, and they're going to develop him into the Browns franchise quarterback.
We're talking NFL draft with Chad Forbes here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, you know, Chad, it's interesting because so many people love the idea of drafting Allen. So many people hate the idea of drafting him here. When you take a look at his body of work, the completion percentage is one of the first thing that comes up. That's a common criticism with him. Maybe to some degree, the level of competition as well. What are some of the other outlying factors that you look at that are considered drawbacks when drafting a guy like Josh Allen?
Yeah, there's not a ton of experience. I think 3 years ago he was at Ridley Community College near San Francisco and all of a sudden burst onto the national scene, just last season. And he's still a little bit green. He's got to learn how to play the position and some of the nuances of being a quarterback in terms of just overall feel for the position. He's still learning those. So I think you need to give him a little bit of time. But, I mean, I don't have to tell you, everybody loves his arm strength. He's a big, physical kid, and I mean, he could get you excited, but I just think Sam Darnold is the safer pick. I think he brings the higher ceiling and, the higher floor, and you don't really have a huge bust factor with Darnold. And so for my money, I would take Sam Darnold, but, people keep saying Josh Allen's in play.
And it's going to be interesting to see what they do. People here are just chomping at the bit to see what they do with the first overall pick. And, of course, what they do at one would certainly dictate what they do at four as well. Saquon Barkley is a name that always comes into the fold because many believe he's the best player out there. You mentioned Chubb earlier. What about a guy like Denzel Ward? I mean, I think that's a name that certainly pops out to people in the listening area here because of the Ohio State allure there also. Any chance he could go as high as four?
You know, Denzel Ward, I don't think prospects, if you just grade out by position, I don't think he's on the same level with Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb. But he's plays a premium position. He's the Ohio State corner. There's been a long track record of success for these guys. And, you know, you just look at what Marshon Lattimore did in New Orleans last year, and some people say he might be a similar prospect. So if you really believe in him, it wouldn't be crazy to me to see him go fourth overall, especially if their preferred choice of Chubb or Barkley is somehow off the board. But just when it comes down to it, I think the first three picks are going to end up being quarterbacks, and the Browns should be sitting pretty at four to select either Chubb, Barkley, or maybe even potentially Denzel Ward.
If it came down to Ward or Fitzpatrick, you still think there's a sliver of a chance that Ward goes? Because we keep hearing about Fitzpatrick and what a great player he is and how much versatility he's got in the secondary as well.
You know, I think Fitzpatrick, throughout the postseason process here, his value's kind of been hurt a little. Based on people don't think he's necessarily a corner, and they don't see the value as in being a single high safety. So you keep hearing his name kind of moving down a little bit. People are talking about him maybe getting to the Raiders at 10 or even the Redskins at 13, which I find surprising because I think he's a great prospect. But I think if you're the Browns, you know, Chubb, Barkley, and Ward are the ones that really make sense.
Again, we're talking NFL draft with Chad Forbes here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, you know, I want to ask you about the second round picks also, because as excited as we may get around here about having two picks in the top five, the Browns, of course, are going to draft very high in the second round as well. Who are some of the guys that might be there early on in day two for the Browns? And again, because they have so many needs, they've addressed some in free agency, but this is a team that still needs quite a bit. Who are some of the guys they may be looking at in the early stages of the second round?
I think regardless of what they do at four, they're going to start talking to teams probably around Seattle at 18 about potentially moving back into the first round. And they have the draft capital. They want the premium players. Some names that I've heard tied to them are Colton Miller, the offensive tackle from UCLA, and Connor Williams from Texas. Those obviously would help to fill the void, if it's possible, of Joe Thomas. And then you hear just, you know, if the Browns are smart, maybe they just sit put and take three best available players at 33, 35, and 64. So you hear some defensive tackles, whether it's a Maurice Hurst or a Colorado the corner, Isaiah Oliver. There's some interest from the Browns. And I mean, they're positioned so well in this draft to come away with really five great players, potentially four if they want to move up and get either a left tackle or a corner. And maybe if they pass on Saquon Barkley at four, or if he doesn't get to them, they could potentially look to go up for a running back like Darius Geis from LSU. It's, you know, Sonny Michel. It's a great running back class. So they'll definitely have their options, and it's got to be exciting to be a Browns fan.
Well, no doubt about that, and I think it's interesting you bring up the idea of drafting an offensive lineman. It's certainly not a sexy pick, but it's obviously one that certainly could be made, and I think it's a position that needs to be addressed. Like, I think over the last 10 years and change, I think Browns fans have certainly gotten used to and comfortable with the idea of knowing you could put Thomas on at left tackle and the blind side's protected and away we go. But now that's a position that you absolutely have to address, one you haven't had to address in a very long time. So it's fascinating that you bring that up, only because of all the mock drafts I've seen, I haven't seen any where the Browns have addressed that position early on. So it's just interesting to hear you say that. I want to get into something else. I was looking at your Twitter timeline earlier, and you had addressed these OBJ rumors. And I tell you what, it's interesting to see that he's probably not going anywhere, but the fact that this was dangled out there for a while, and then it came out that it was going to cost a team at least a couple of first-round picks to get Odell Beckham, I thought that was fascinating. You think that's a bit too steep for a guy that's only under control for one more year?
You know, there's not a lot of proven stars in this league that generate buzz and bring excitement to a franchise. So if you're a team like the Rams or the Chargers, where you have this, you know, new multi-billion-dollar stadium going up and you're trying to really, you know, capture that fan base's excitement, I think it makes sense in more than just football from that kind of marketing perspective. I mean, for the Browns, that does not strike me as a John Dorsey move. I don't think he's giving away the fourth pick for, as you said, a wide receiver who's A, wants to be paid like a quarterback and is only under contract for one more year.
Sure. And you mentioned this earlier. I'm not sure if you tweeted it or you had retweeted it. The idea that, you know, a star like that playing for the Giants, they're going to be on national TV at least a couple of times this year. We'll find out more about that when the schedule comes out. But, you know, when you put the price tag out there like that, that gets me to think, boy, are they really serious about moving him? Or do they just want to put that out there to see what kind of nibbles they might get? Because a guy like that, again, a very polarizing figure, he is a star. And as you mentioned, he's a guy that in the two markets you just mentioned, he certainly could do well if teams felt like he was worth that kind of price tag. But it just seemed like that was maybe a bit too steep of a price to pay, especially for a franchise like the Browns, who, sure, maybe they've got the cap to you know, go out there and spend on a guy like that, but I just don't know how he would fit here. I also want to ask you about Lamar Jackson, because there are so many varying opinions on him, too. He refuses to run those 40-yard dashes, and who could blame him? Because teams want him to run those because they feel like maybe he could project as a wide receiver. I, however, love the fact that he's not doing that because he wants to be drafted as a quarterback. You hear so many different stories about where he might go, but it's just so hard to look at a body of work like that and not be impressed.
I 100% agree. He's a quarterback, and I thought not running the 40 was his way of saying, you know, evaluate me, how I throw the football and how I lead an offense, not based on the athlete you think I am. Because if he ran a 40, we all know it would be in the 4.4 to 4.3 range. I mean, just, you know, watch him play a little bit in the ACC, and you could tell that he's a high-level athlete. I think he ends up in round one somewhere. He's too talented. And I look at the success that Deshaun Watson had last year with Houston and say, you know, if you bring him along maybe a little more slowly than Deshaun, but you know, build an offense around his strengths. You know, he could be a dynamic playmaker in this league, and he could do a lot, not just as a passer, but, you know, just in the RPOs and all the different kind of nuances that are coming to offense. He's an exciting player, and I think he's been a bit underrated throughout this whole process.
And I agree 100%, but here's my question. How does a guy like that go underrated in this process after winning the Heisman, and then he has an even better year this last year against some pretty good competition, no less? How is it that a guy like that flies under the radar? That just doesn't make sense to me.
You know, I think that some people question the arm strength, and then some people think durability-wise, will he hold up, you know, based on he's not the biggest guy in the world, and his running style can be a bit reckless at times. But, you know, I just think people are... And, you know, I don't want to get into naming normally the deeper side of it. You know, his Wonderlic score comes out, and it's not great. And there's, you know, people around the league that, you know, are locked in the 1960s in some ways. And they've got this perspective on him that's pretty dogmatic, and it's not going to change. And, you know, I think it's going to take an innovative offensive coordinator who understands his strengths, his abilities. And I think he could take the league by storm. I think for a team like Arizona who just really needs a shot of adrenaline, you know, he'd be a great value selection.
No question about that. Well, Chad, this was a lot of fun. This was a blast talking NFL Draft with you. You can check out Chad on Twitter at NFL Draft Bites. That's at NFL Draft Bites. Chad, we appreciate the time very much, and we'll have you on again soon before we get to draft time itself on April 26th.
Guys, that's great. Thank you very much. And go Browns.